Good morning. We're in John, the book of John, and we're looking at the seven signs that John talks about in his first book of the gospel, or his book of the gospel. And John is using his book and his writings to establish and get people to see the true Messiah, Jesus as the true Messiah. And so to do that, he is testifying to the seven signs or seven miracles, the first seven miracles that Jesus did as he recorded them in the gospel. The first one, as we saw, we looked at when his very first one at the wedding of Canaan, where he turned the water into wine. The second one was when he healed the royal official's daughter, our son, by just speaking the word. The third was when he healed the cripple at the pool of Bethesda. The man had been crippled for 38 years. And then he fed the 5,000 with just a little bit of bread and a couple of fish. Today I want us to look at the sixth sign. It's in chapter 9 of John. It's where he heals the blind man who had been blind since birth. And as I prayed earlier, I don't know what you're thinking this morning as you're here. I don't know what you're feeling. I don't know what you came with. But I want to encourage you not to let this just be a religious motion that you go through when you come to church. I pray that you, when you come, you'll come to not only bring something to the Lord, but you'll also come to receive something from him that he has for you. Not for someone else, but for you. Amen. He always has something for us when we come into his presence, when we come with the right heart, when we come to worship him, when we come to seek him and to seek his presence. And so I hope that's why you're here today. If not, ask the Holy Spirit to adjust your spiritual eyes, your spiritual ears, and your spiritual mind today. John chapter 9, I'm just going to break these verses down a little bit. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" They ask him, who sinned? You see, the assumption was someone that had a terrible impairment or a bad disease like that, the assumption then was that there was sin. It was because they had sinned. Now, this man was born blind. He was blind since birth. So, when you think about it, how could he have sinned to cause the blindness? Of course, Jesus' disciples said, "Well, must have been his parents. Was it him or his parents?" Now, him was a dumb question. He was born that way, but his parents, maybe it was because his parents. And Jesus answered in verse 3, and he said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. You see, no one sinned to cause this man's blindness. This blindness was ordained, if you will, to reveal the glory of God at the proper time. God's glory and God's power was revealed, or was to be revealed, in the blind man. You see, God uses everything for a purpose. When he has a purpose for you, he'll establish that, and he'll bring about that purpose. But there's a part that we play. And we'll see a part that the blind man plays here in this story today. Verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me, speaking of God, while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. God sent Jesus for a specific purpose, to bring light to a world of darkness, to bring light into this dark world, to bring salvation, the light of salvation, to mankind. And so Jesus is saying, I need to be about the work for which I was sent. While it is day, he's speaking of a spiritual presence of day and a spiritual time of darkness that would come. In verse 6, it says, when he had said these things, he spat on the ground, he made some clay with saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and he washed and he came back seeing. He came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is this not he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. And others said, well, he is like him. And then he said, I am he. I'm the one that was blind. You see, they couldn't believe the miracle, the sign that had just been given. They couldn't believe it. Some wanted to believe, some couldn't believe, some didn't want to believe. And so guess what unbelief brings? It brings confusion. And so what we see here is confusion among them. In verse 10, he says, therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? And he answered and he said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So I went and I washed and I received my sight. Then they said to him, where is he? He said, I don't know. You see, what's the key here? It didn't really make sense how Jesus did it. Here's a man that's blind, and so he spit on the ground and took some of the clay and worked it and then made a salve, if you will, of dirt, of clay, and put it over his eyes. And he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now that's kind of a strange antidote for blindness, isn't it? You'd think putting dirt in his eyes would make it worse. So he went and washed. But what is the key in this? Remember I just said previously, we're going to see how Jesus works, but how the blind man had a part. And this was his part. Do you know what his part was? Obedience. He had to obey what Jesus said. Jesus spit, made some mud out of clay, put it on his eyes, and said, go wash in a certain pool. And he did. And the word says, he came back seeing. And so that's the key to his healing, was his obedience. You see, a lot of the people thought he was blind because of sin in his life. In fact, we'll see the Pharisees, the religious leaders, still accuse him of that in just a little bit. But when God tells you to do something, there's a purpose for it. That's the message here in this part of the blind man. He wanted his sight, but he had to be obedient to what Jesus was telling him to do in order to receive his sight. And sometimes God will ask us to do something that makes no sense at all. Maybe some of you have experienced this. If you haven't, then you need to get a little closer connected to him, because it will happen. He will ask you to do something that makes no sense at all. And then you have a choice. You have a choice to either be obedient or to just go do your own thing. And the results will be up to you. Well, when the results are up to me, I don't usually like the results. Obedience. The blind man was obedient to what Jesus told him to do, and he received his sight. Verse 13, they brought him, who formerly was blind, to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, because he does not keep or observe the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was division among them. Do you see what I said previously? Unbelief creates confusion, and we see it happening. And where was it coming from? It was coming from the religious leaders. It was coming from the top down. They were concerned because as you read this, you can see there was absolutely no concern about the blind man. They didn't care about the blind man. They didn't care that he had received his sight. What did they care about? They cared about their religious habits, their religious acts, their religious ceremonies. And you see, that's a perfect display of what I call a spirit of religion. A spirit of religion. A spirit that is not in tune, pretends to be in tune with God, but is far from it. Far from it. Caught up, consumed, and concerned about the religious A, B, C, and D. Of what? Going through the motions. Going through the motions. It's called religion. It's called religion. And you know, we think of religion, when you say the word religion, we think of it as, oh, well, that's a good thing. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. You see, religion is what crucified Jesus. A spirit of religion. He didn't go with the flow. He went against their religious set in their way ideas. And here, he's doing it right now with this sixth sign, with this miracle of healing the blind man. Why? Well, it was the Sabbath. It's the Sabbath. Why? He doesn't observe the Sabbath. He actually spit on the ground and he made some clay. He did something on the Sabbath. And then he put it in the man's eyes and healed the blind man on the Sabbath. Well, all they were worried about it was the Sabbath. They were totally blinded themselves to what had just taken place. To Jesus, the glory of Jesus being manifested right in front of them. Right to them. Right to them. They brought him, the one who was formerly blind, to the Pharisees, and it was the Sabbath. And then they asked him again, and he said, this is what he did. He made the clay, put it on my eyes, I washed, I see. And then they began to get stirred. This man's not from God. Why would they say he's not from God? We're going to see in just a minute that even this blind man who had been blind since birth, so he was probably very uneducated, he takes him to school in just a minute in this story. But they said, he's not from God. He doesn't keep the Sabbath. Others said, so he's a sinner. Basically, how can a sinner do such signs? Religion. Do you see the religion in this? And you know what? Religion can come right into here and consume us too. Well, we've always done it like that. Or we've never done it like that. Or why do we do it like that? Well, I've never seen that before. You see, it can be very subtle, but yet when it manifests, it's very blatant. It's very blatant. So they were divided. They were divided because of unbelief. They were divided. Unbelief breeds division and confusion. And we see it right here as an example. Verse 17, he says, they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him? Because he opened your eyes? What do you say about him? He said, he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him. There's the unbelief again. The Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. They didn't really believe that he'd been blind. Now they're doubting everything. They're trying to discredit everything. Even the man who had received his sight. So they brought his parents in and asked his parents. And they asked him, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, well, we know this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He'll speak for himself. So, don't you think the parents knew what happened to him? I mean, they were right there. They were right, obviously, they called him in. So they weren't in some other town. And when this man, who'd been blind since birth, suddenly is seeing and walking around seeing with full vision, don't you think his parents knew and knew about it? They may have even been present when it happened. For whatever reason, well, it tells us. John tells us what reason they said this. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he's of age, ask him. Parents had a chance to give testimony to Jesus, and they passed. They took a pass. Why? Why? Fear of what? Fear of what? Fear of rejection. Fear of losing their status in the church. Fear of losing their membership in the church. Because the Jews have said, anybody that confesses him as Christ, we're going to excommunicate you. You're going to throw you out. And so clearly it says that's the reason they denied knowing how he was healed. Because they didn't want to lose their status in the church. Do you see the spirit of religion alive and well here? And it comes right into the modern day church too. It's full in the modern day church too. Verse 23, therefore his parents said, he's of age, ask him. So they again called the man in who was blind, and they said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner, speaking of Jesus. The blind man answered and said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Though I was blind, now I see. You can call Jesus whatever you want to call him. You can say whatever you want to say about him. But this one thing I know. I was blind, but now I see. You know, I can remember when I got saved. That reminds me when I got saved. And I was excited. And as soon as my first person I saw that was a friend of mine, I got to. And I started witness to him. And I was trying to share what had happened to me. And he's looking at me like I got four eyes. And he said, I just don't understand it. And I said, well, let me just keep telling you. I said this one thing. I finally said, because I was flustered too, trying to witness because I was excited about what God had done in my life. And I said, all I can tell you is I'm not the same person I was. And whatever I got in here, you can kill me, but you can't take it away from me. Amen. And I remember saying that to him. And I just, you know, and this is what the blind man's saying. He said, you can call Jesus what you want. You can say he's a sinner. All I know is I was blind and now I see. And you know, that's what happens when Jesus touches your life. When you open your life to Christ, when you admit you need a Savior, you admit to yourself you need a Savior. And then you open yourself to the one and true Savior. Once you were blind, but now you see. You see, that's what salvation is about. That's the illustration of salvation. Every person, every human being is born blind, spiritually blind. We're born blind. We're blind to the things of God. Our hearts are corrupt. We're broken. We're born a sinner. But when Jesus touches your life, well, I once was blind, but now I see. You begin to see with spiritual eyes. He opens the eyes of our spirit when he comes into your life. He says, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But I know this, though I was blind, I now see. And then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Now, I think this is going to be probably the third time that he tells them. And this is where a man that had been blind from birth, so obviously had very little education, but he goes to school on the religious leaders. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I told you already, and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Now that rang their bell. It would have been nice to be there and see the look on their faces of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Do you want to be his disciples also? Then they reviled him. Reviled means they hurled insults. Probably began to curse him and just spit venom through their mouths at him with words of viciousness. They reviled him and they said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. Here goes the religion again. Here goes the religious spirit welling up, which is exactly what he does, the enemy does, to try to refute the truth. He says, you might be his disciples, but we're disciples of Moses. Well, he says, they said, we know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we don't know where he's from, speaking of Jesus. And they said, we know Moses spoke, but this guy, we don't know where he's from. And here's where the blind man took them to school. Verse 30, the man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing that you don't know where he is from, yet he's opened my eyes. You know, he was saying like, are you guys dumb? A miracle just took place. A miracle just took place. And where do miracles come from? They come from God, religious leaders. They don't come from you. They don't come from man. They come from God. And he says, this is a marvelous thing. You don't know where he's from. Yet he's opened my eyes. Yet he's done this miracle. Here's a man that's been blind his whole life. And he's teaching the Pharisees and the religious leaders a thing or two. He says, now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. What does that mean? What's he saying there? The blind man saying, we know that God doesn't hear sinners. He's speaking of those who are without God, that are living in sin, perpetual sin. He says, but anyone who's a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. And he says, since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of the one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Even the blind man knew what was going on. Even the blind man could see the glory of God taking place in his life. Not just that he could see and, oh my gosh, I can see. But see, he was seeing with spiritual eyes. He was seeing beyond just the miracle. He was seeing where it came from and who it came from. And yet the religious leaders were like, no, no, we can't see that. Yet a blind man could see it. A blind man could see it. Since the world began, it's been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of the one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And then they answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins, and now you're teaching us? And they cast him out, meaning excommunicated him. They're saying, wait a minute here. You were completely born in sin. You see, they're defying what Jesus had already said. Remember the disciples asked him? And they said, who sinned, him or his parents? And he said, neither. Why? Why was he blind? To reveal the glory of God at this time. Yet the Pharisees, the religious leaders, said, no, you were born in sins. That's why you're blind. And now you're teaching us. You see, that spirit of religion gets offended real easy when truth is spoken to it. And that's just what happens in the church. People who move and operate in religion and they don't even realize it, and then they're hit with truth, they rebuke it. They get offended. They get mad. Sometimes they even leave. Praise the Lord. No, I didn't say that. No, it's a shame how the spirit of religion can blind people. It can blind people to Jesus right in front of them, moving and being and doing. And that's what was happening here. The so-called religious leaders, they are the ones that the blind man was healed and they were blind. And they were blind to what even he could see. And then they excommunicated him. They cast him out. And you know what? The truth is, they did him a favor. They did him a favor. Why? Why would I say they did him a favor? Because they cast him out. They excommunicated him is what that word cast out means. They excommunicated him from that church, from the religious church. And you know what? They did him a favor because if he'd have hung around there, he would have eventually become just like them. Because that's where they were leading the people, into nothing but religious motions of confusion and not of God. And so they did him a favor because he was set free from that religious spirit. And there's a lot of people in the church today that need to be set free from a religious spirit. Some didn't believe he was even born blind. His parents feared the religious leaders and their status in the church. So they sat quiet. They claimed to not know what happened. Then the leaders didn't believe because he healed. They were focused on him healing on the Sabbath. Oh my gosh, he violated the Sabbath because he did something. God did something. Do you realize what's happening? God did something on the Sabbath. And the religious leaders, oh no, that don't happen. And that's the kind of attitude of religious spirit that keeps God from doing things on the Sabbath in the church. Religion. Folks, if you don't hear anything else today, break the religious spirit if you have one. You may not realize it. Get in the Word. It'll reveal it. Religion is death. Spirit is life. And God wants His church operating in spirit and in truth, not in religious activity. Not in religious activity. True vision and true blindness in verse 35. Jesus drew near to him. It says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, Do you believe in the Son of God? And the blind man answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking to you. And then he said, Lord, I believe. And he what? He worshiped him. He didn't just believe, he worshiped him. He honored him. He glorified him. And that's exactly what God's purpose was in the man's blindness. So that Jesus' glory would be revealed. And he would be glorified. Jesus said, for judgment, I have come into this world. That those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words, and they said to him, Are we blind? Well, Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remains. Now there's a couple of references to this. In Matthew 13:13, it won't be on the screen. I'm just going to read it to you. Matthew 13:13, Jesus is talking about the parables of the purpose. And he says, Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear. He was describing the Pharisees and the religious leaders perfectly, and many others. Nor do they understand. In verse 14, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, Hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Folks, don't let your heart grow dull toward Jesus. If you just go through the religious motions, if you just come to church and sit through the church service and you go back to life as normal, your heart will grow dull toward God. That's how the enemy works. He tries to keep us busy, and busyness in the church and busyness out of church and busyness in life and distractions and distortions, so that we don't do what we sang earlier. Turn our eyes upon Jesus. Turn our eyes upon Jesus and keep our eyes on Jesus. You see, he's saying, they see, but they don't see. They hear, but they don't hear, and they don't understand. And then in Matthew 15:22, he says, or Matthew 15:14, he says, Let them alone. He's speaking of the blind leading the blind. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, they both fall into a ditch. You know, this is what was happening right here with the man who was, when Jesus healed him. The leaders, the religious leaders, were blind leading the blind, and they were leading others and themselves right into the ditch, right into the pit of hell, because they refused to believe, they refused to see what they had even already seen. John 15:22, Jesus is speaking, and he said, If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. When Jesus said in this verse of chapter 9, in 41, in 39, he said, for judgment I have come to this world. What was he saying? He was saying, I've come to judge sin. I've come to reveal the sins of the people. Not judge the people, judge sin. And that's what he's doing. You see, when he said, they said, are we blind? And he said, if you're blind, you'd have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. He was revealing their sin to them. For judgment he came to reveal sin to the world and to bring salvation through it. Through his blood, through his death, through his resurrection. To bring salvation and power and conquer over sin and spiritual death. That's his purpose. That's why he came. And yet, the religious leaders, they were blind. They couldn't see. So what does all this mean? Why? What is this sign of healing this blind man who had been blind since birth? What does it mean? What's the point? The point is this. Jesus reveals himself any way he desires. And through these seven signs in John we're looking at, he's revealing who he is, the true Messiah. And yet, even when he stood in front of the religious leaders, they didn't see him or recognize him. Why? They were bound. They were bound by a religious spirit. They were bound what they'd always read and understood themselves and taught themselves, and they limited what they could see. And they were spiritually blind. Spiritually blind to the Savior who stood in front of them, who demonstrated who he was through these miracles. And it's obviously, as you read this, they saw some of the other miracles that he had done. And they knew about them or saw them themselves. And yet, they refused to believe he is who he is. Let me ask you something this morning. Worship team, would you come up? Let me ask you something this morning. Do you believe Jesus is who he says he is? See, we can sit in church and say, yes, absolutely. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Amen. How about tomorrow morning? How about tomorrow morning when things go sideways? When they cut you off in traffic? Or they're sitting at a traffic light on their phone while you're trying to get to work? How about when someone comes and says something ugly to you? You still believe he is who he says he is? You see, it's easy to sit in church and say, yes, I believe who Jesus is. It's a whole nother thing to walk it out. You see, it's easy in church most of the time. The pastor's not too hard on us most of the time. But you see, when we got this thing called life that we all have to live and experience. And life outside these walls is different than it is in here. But do you take life from here and take life out there? That's the purpose that Jesus wants for all of us, is to believe that he is who he says he is. But not only believe it, but to turn our eyes upon him and keep them on him. See, it's easy to get our eyes off Jesus when things start coming at us. But you know what? That's the most critical time to keep our eyes on Jesus, is when all hell is flying all around us. That's when we, above all, have to keep our eyes on Jesus. But you know what? what's revealed when that happens? What's revealed at that moment when life goes sideways, it reveals how much our eyes have been on Jesus before that. Hello? You see, you don't get prepared for a storm when it gets here. We live in Florida. We have hurricanes. A hurricane's coming off the coast, and it's going to hit here at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. So at 6 o'clock in the morning, tomorrow morning, you're going to get up and start boarding up your windows and looking for water, right? How's that going to work? But you see, that's what we do with our spiritual life. We know storms are going to come, and we just wait, and then we like cry out, "Oh, Jesus, help me. I'm in a storm." Well, what have you been doing to prepare for that storm? He gives us His Word. He gives us all the preparation we need for every and any storm that comes. Every and any storm that comes. And they come in all forms, shapes, and sizes, and depths and degrees. And you can't prepare for it once it's there. It's too late. And it's the same thing with Jesus' return. When he's coming back. And when He comes back, and when He appears, and you're not ready, it's too late. It's too late. Remember, there's a story in the Bible about the 10 virgins? 5 were prepared. Their lamps were full. They had oil. Another 5 had to go find it because they weren't prepared. And He came. And He went in and He closed the door. And while they were trying to get prepared for Him, He came. And it was too late. Because they weren't prepared ahead of time. It's the same way with us. He's coming back. And if you're not prepared, how do I prepare, Pastor? Well, first, you better have a true personal relationship with Him. That means admit you need a Savior. Believe that He's the one true God and Savior. And by faith, receive Him as your Savior. That's the beginning of preparation for His return. But the story today is a preparation for the storm. Are you prepared for the storm that's coming tomorrow in your life? Some of you are going to walk out of here today and there's going to be a storm hit you tomorrow. Have you been preparing? Have you been in God's Word? Have you been feeding on this and strengthening your spiritual being with the food of His Word? If not, you're not prepared. I can't give you any better advice, any better word than that. If you're not in God's Word, you're living in danger. You're living in danger. God's Word is a preparation for everything. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the examples that You give us in Your Word. Your Word says these things were written for us as examples for us. Things a long time ago that occurred and took place are written for us today. So that we, through Your Word and through Your Spirit, could have life. Life abundantly, life everlasting, life to the full. We could be prepared. Because we know we all experience storms in life. So we have a choice to go through the storm on our own or to go through the storm with Him. Thank You that You never leave us or forsake us. But God, You give us clear instructions on what our part is to do. We have a part. Just like the blind man had his part. And that part is obedience. God, help us to be obedient. To be in Your Word. To be obedient to Your Word. In Jesus' name. Amen.